Welcome to episode 7 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Matthew Mueller.
Wow, have you met me before?
I know, I sounded like I had never met you before.
What up, everybody?
Maybe it's just more to make sure you're still with me as we continue this journey.
It's the red shirt.
It's episode 7, things start to get tense around now.
Fair enough.
Just make sure you're still on board the journey. That's a great introduction, buddy. Now, Brandon Davis, who's usually here with us, is out this week. He's on a super secret mission of seeing a super secret certain Marvel movie that is coming down the pike fast, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So, filling in for him, we have one of the other comic book originals, Mr. Jamie Lovett.
Hey, guys. I like that you're all super secret, but we will talk about it later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was just a super. You got to sell
for
just selling some sizzle, just selling some sizzle.
It's good.
So, episode 7, and we're still on the journey. We want to thank you guys for riding with us and all your downloads and listens and responses that we've gotten. It's been much appreciated, and it keeps us going as they trudge us into this freezing cold studio to do this every time. And if you're just joining us, let's go over the ways you can listen. You can always find us on the site. We put up a post for every new episode. You can listen there. And through that same post, you can always subscribe to our RSS feed. And we are on the Spotify, the Stitcher, and the Apple Music, or iTunes, I forget. I just like blank.
And Amazon Music, too.
We're not on Amazon Music. Never will be. We want things.
I listen to Amazon Music. It's a real thing.
We are on the things that people will listen to.
You can subscribe. Ride or die for Amazon Music.
Yeah. Yes. Bezos is not paying you. Don't shill for him.
Call me Amazon.
Okay, so we're on the places that everybody actually listens to. Okay? That's where you can find us. That's where you can subscribe. And you can always continue any discussion we're having with us online at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. Let's begin. So today, the first thing we're going to talk about is the fact that the Marvel Netflix universe is officially dead. R.I.P. I didn't bring anything to drink today, and I'm sure our video team would kill me if I poured out a little onto their stage, but they would come in here and murder me, so I'm not going to pour out any onto our recording stage here, but man, it's the end of an era. The Marvel Netflix universe is officially over. We got the official reports that Punisher is canceled after season 2, and Jessica Jones is canceled after season 3. And, I mean, this is not surprising, so we're not going to spend too much time on this because we all saw this coming. And we just put up an article, a pretty popular article yesterday, that basically broke down why this happened. And surprise, surprise, the answer is, you know, cream. Cash rules everything around me. Money. It's just money. Basically, yeah, Netflix was going to get hit with some licensing fees they didn't want to pay. They couldn't work it out. Disney probably wanted back their content anyway because they're launching their own Disney Plus streaming service. And so, I mean, this was just the middle. The Marvel Netflix shows were basically like the middle child of this whole franchise. And they're like, you're going to go live with mommy now. Like, you know, say goodbye to daddy.
What an analogy. What a way to put
it. I mean, it's just what it is, though, right? Like,
you feel bad, though, for...
I mean, I feel bad for the casts of these shows because, I mean, if you've ever seen social media, they have been, they're hardworking cast of every show, and they're made up of some good people, even the supporting characters. Like, one of my favorites is Amy Rutenberg from Daredevil, who's, like, great on social media, hilarious, and just, like, you know, very personable, and, like, these casts and these teams have been... I mean, they have been pounding the pavement of New York City and recording these shows and promoting them and interacting with the fan base. And like, they really did change the game, all these shows did.
I just feel bad for Jessica Jones because it didn't, like, all the other ones got their season and then they were like, oh, the axe is coming. Like, they all know, but it didn't surprise anybody on Jessica Jones. I just feel bad because they didn't even get to come out.
Yeah, I mean,
season.
That's like, they got the axe promotion. Before. Hey, watch this show. Ain't gonna be anymore.
No.
But you should be invested still anyway.
Yeah,
so,
a bunch
like,
of people worked hard on it.
Right. I mean, yeah, I feel bad for all of them. I mean, I probably feel the least bad for the makers of Iron Fist because they only did a half-assed job anyway to begin with. But let's not drag the dead. I mean, it's like, stop. They're already dead, you know? But
I feel the worst for Luke Cage because of the way that show ended. It's such a terrible message for that show to end with him being a crime boss.
Yeah, I mean, that was also, I mean, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, more than anything, like those two shows ended with such big cliffhangers, like
yeah.
and exciting season threes that could really have come out of that. Luke Cage was a crime boss and we were going to deal with that. You know, Danny Rance firing Chi Bullet and, you know, we were going to get into what's his name, the original, his predecessor, Iron Fist. What's his name?
Was it Orson Randall?
Orson Randall, yeah. We were going to get to that whole storyline, which was going to be exciting. And, like, yeah, so it's kind of a weird place. But like I said, we're not going to get too deep on this because we talked a couple, either last episode or a couple episodes ago about, you know, what could happen. Could they move to another streaming service or what, and what we wanted to see happen. So if you want to learn more about that, go back and check out that discussion. But we're just going to say RIP. And I think we should all end with just, like, a fond memory of – everybody share a fond memory. Let's see. My fond memory will be the first hallway fight in Daredevil was – I mean, just seeing that sequence unfold, it became kind of a played out trope in Marvel Netflix. But the first time I saw it, I was like, man, this is awesome. This action is, you know, it's gritty, it's hard hitting, well choreographed and different than anything I'd ever seen from Marvel. And that was my fond memory.
Jamie, you want to go?
I'm really fond of actually in Defenders. There was a complaint about Defenders being a little slow, but in that middle episode where they finally team up, specifically when Luke and Iron Fist are first on screen together and Luke covers Iron Fist and that soundtrack kicks in that office fight, that gave me chills. That is one of my favorite moments from that whole Netflix era.
Yeah, that was great. Right there.
I think mine came from actually the middle of Luke Cage's first season when... And I'm blanking on his name right now. Essentially, the twist, and if you haven't seen that season, I mean, you should go watch that season up until like a certain point. But essentially, the bad guy changes, and a certain character dies, just in case no one's seen it. A certain character dies, and you're like, you thought he was the main villain of the entire season, and then they flip it. That surprised the snot out of me. So I actually thought like that, I remember watching that episode and just left a little floored. I was like, okay, well, that throws all my expectations out of the window. And even though the rest of the season kind of didn't necessarily utilize that to its fullest extent, I still loved how it actually threw me, and I wasn't expecting it. So anyway, you should go watch it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this. And RIP Marvel Netflix, if you guys want to take a look back, make sure that you get back in and see that before it disappears forever. Moving right along, we're going to jump to something in comic books this week. You know, it is about that time in the week when comic books are coming out. And two of our best comic book reviewers I have with me today, Jamie and Matt, these guys break down, you know, do a weekly comic review with some of our other excellent staff writers. And there's a big topic in comics this week that we actually got to get into. It's about Marvel. It's a big deal and could even have something to do with, you know, the film franchise, depending on how these things link up and sync up. And that is the return of Wolverine. If you're not up on what's happened in X-Men books lately, like there was a big super-powered showdown with the combined Nate Gray and Legion, who at the end of this threw out some kind of another, I mean, it gets rough for mutants every couple of years, getting, like obliterated in Marvel Comics. But he sent out some kind of psychic wave that killed like all of the X-Men members across the world. And in this kind of vacuum has stepped Cyclops and Wolverine, two characters who have been dead for a long time and are now back. And Wolverine's return, and I dip lightly into comics, but I made the mistake one day of taking on a Wolverine, like, return article.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it took me, like, I mean, it took me about a good 15 minutes of prep just trying to read through everything and being, like, I was like Mr. Burns in that episode of The Simpsons where he's, like, catch up. I was, like, future Logan, Phoenix Logan, resurrected
Logan. I'm so
sorry, like,
for the trauma.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, I mean, I'm sorry for you because I'm going to just be asking crazy questions in this segment. You guys are going to have to explain to the people, how is Wolverine back and, like, what's the explanation behind all this? Because I think this week we got a better answer to that.
They basically spent an entire comic book spelling out exactly what happened because they had to fix the fact that nobody understood what happened. Wolverine, after being dead, popped up, I think it was maybe last May, in Marvel Legacy number one, and they've been slow rolling his return ever since then, except at some point it stopped lining up. He was appearing in half of their books doing one thing and then another entirely different set of books doing entirely different things. And the two things just did not make sense together. So in this, are we just going to spoil the Infinity
Watch thing? Oh, yeah, go do it, yeah. Because honestly, you shouldn't read this book. You should just listen to this podcast and get your notes because this book sucks. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so in Wolverine Infinity Watch, they finally clarify that there have actually been two Wolverines running around, that Loki went and pulled one out of like some alternate future that has the Phoenix Force and is stuck in some sort of weird Loki time loop or something. And then the other one was just, conveniently, there's a mutant whose power is to resurrect people, and that's what she did. That's that entire mystery. It is so previous to this, he was showing up in post-credit scenes in books. He was showing up secretly at the big X-Men wedding, but also he was being used as an assassin against his will and all this stuff, and you couldn't reconcile those things. Well, that's because they didn't happen to the same person. They were two entirely different people. And then the Phoenix one literally just like walks off stage.
Yes, that's this.
Now that we've tied this up, I'm going to leave. Goodbye. And walks away.
Hands him a bat and says, here's the thing. And then walks away.
A bat?
On all of that stuff. No, literally like a baseball bat.
Time bat.
It's a time.
He says it's a time bat. He does not explain what that means.
In my mind, that means cosmic treadmill, and it's terrible.
Time stone. Maybe it has a time stone in it because Wolverine's somehow involved with the Infinity Stones now. Previously, it was the Phoenix Wolverine involved with that angle. Now that Phoenix Wolverine is gone, regular Wolverine is somehow involved. It really reeks of like they had one idea for how to bring Wolverine back and then decided they could make more money if they turned it into a whole event thing. And rather than just like adjusting, they're just like, we'll do both and fix it later. And I don't know if that's what happens, but it feels like somebody did not have a very clear idea.
I feel like somebody just came to Marvel and was like, look, X-Men are coming back. They're coming back. Disney got them. We need Wolverine everywhere right now. We need like five different possible Wolverine toys.
He was in four books this week.
Yeah, I know.
3 years. You want Phoenix Wolverine. You want Infinity Wolverine. You want just plain old, good old fashioned Wolverine classic. Like, yeah, this is, I mean, okay. So, I mean, I feel like explaining Wolverine is now becoming like when we've had to try to explain Cable to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was already confusing, by
the
way.
Yeah, he wasn't simple.
Before, yeah. Now it's, and here's the thing. I actually didn't hate when they, you knew it was coming. And you knew he was going to come back. Wolverine's, mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to be gone forever. But I did at the time, and I'm still bitter about this, that Laura got the shaft when it came to that. She was doing great. She was doing great
as all new Wolverine. Yes. Yeah.
So then she gets the shaft for this mess, right? Because mm-hmm. this has been, Return of Wolverine was not great, which was a series that, like he talked about, is all about this lady who can bring him back, you know, bring people back from the dead. And he ends up doing missions for her and he's questioning all these. Anyway, that whole long thing also ended this week. And that ended with a thud. Mm-hmm. And then you have this book. And it's at least the Phoenix Wolverine concept was interesting. At least it was kind of like, okay, well, let's see what they do with that. That's so weird. And it's a lot like they did with Marvel Legacy when they gave Wolverine, now that we know it's two Wolverines, but they gave Wolverine an Infinity Stone. And you're like, well, that's interesting. We've never seen that character kind of get those. They've done nothing with any of them. Mm-hmm. And now they've all intersected. They're done. And thank the Lord, because that thing needs to go.
So just to wrap this up, because I'm still like, in a daze about this. So which Wolverine are we sticking with now? Is this Hot Claws Wolverine?
Yes, Hot Claws, but not Phoenix Claws.
Okay. Wolverine. So do we know why the Hot Claws, have they explained why the Hot Claws are a thing?
Sort of. Apparently they get hot when he lets his like berserker side out now. They haven't really explained why that suddenly happens because he's gone berserker before.
New action.
But yeah, you're not wrong.
And in this last issue, right, in Return of Wolverine, they also, he keeps his berserker part closed in the cell.
Yeah. When he gets all his other memories back.
When he gets all his other memories back and he unlocks all these other aspects of his personality, the berserker one's still in a cell, which means technically he shouldn't be able to use Hot Claws.
And he hasn't anywhere else.
Yeah.
He's in like one issue of Return of Wolverine.
But you see him because you see the glint of orange.
So, kids, if you're looking for new Wolverine toys, you have your options coming up of Phoenix Wolverine, Infinity Bat Wolverine, Hot Claws Wolverine.
You know what?
And
I'll kind of
buy it. Sure they're going to release a special edition Old Man Logan figure to go with it. So look, we have no shortage of Wolverine.
The takeaway is just don't worry about all that Wolverine like solo stuff. Just go pick up the current Uncanny X-Men run where he's back teaming up with Cyclops. That's good.
Yeah, that stuff, I mean, them meeting at like the kind of at the school and stuff, that was really good. And I actually got excited for that to see, because I was reading through, because I didn't read about what is it called? The storyline with Legion and Nate Gray.
Yeah. Disassembled.
Yeah, Disassembled. Because if you were a 90s kid, that was hella interesting, because that was like every major 90s storyline. They were like, let's wrap this up.
You know? You're in Age of Apocalypse.
That was like, Age of Apocalypse. That was the beginning and end of Age of Apocalypse. And like, and so I was kind of going through that. And then I saw the ending with Cyclops and Wolverine, which, you know, I'll admit, it got me in the heartstrings. I was like, man, that's like those two just coming together and now have to rebuild the X-Men is the greatest like odd pair story. And you think they could make it that simple because the richness is all built into that. But no, we need like,
well, and that's what I feel like,
crazy interdimensional 50 different versions of people.
I feel like that's what Uncanny is doing. It's trying to boil it down to its most simple aspects. It's a little rough getting there, but I feel like it's finally. Can we just recognize, though, that while most of my impressions of this book is negative, it does give us an amazing line that is Alcoholism Chariot. And Loki.
That's how Loki describes the beer truck that Wolverine hit him with.
In Legacy, and that is a great line. Anyway, that I was just trying to find a positive in a world of murk there. So there you go.
Okay, well, Wolverine's back. It's kind of crazy how he got here, but we do have Wolverine back, and his claws are hotter than ever.
Hot claws.
All right. Stay tuned, because we're going to discuss the very first reactions to Captain Marvel, which have just hit, and we're also going to get into a lot of Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, buddy.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, so since we have Jamie Lovett here, as we bring on people, you guys, I mean, we've said and we've teased that we're going to have a lot more of the comic book staff joining us up here. And we have a lot of people who are kind of specialists in, you know, key areas. I mean, everybody's kind of a specialist in everything around here, not to toot our own horn, but we have people who are really good and can get really deep on specific stuff. And Jamie does a fantastic job just nailing down Star Trek for us and kind of keeping coverage. I mean, he's been in for Discovery since it started. And he just kind of keeps an eye on the franchise. And he recently did something pretty cool for a Star Trek fan. And we'll let you get into all of that. So this is basically, since we haven't talked about it yet on the show, and we're going to go through various, you know, different kinds of topics and areas of the geekdom, as it were. This is our Star Trek talk. And so Jamie is basically here to deliver a state of the franchise address. And it's going to be huge. And it's going to be great. We've already built a lot of Star Trek, but we're going to get a lot more. So, Jamie, take us through.
That's quite the intro. But, yeah, Star Trek is basically in this really big state of expansion. It had been off of television for more than a decade. And then 2017, Discovery starts. It's in its second season now. After the first season, they signed Alex Kurtzman, who co-created Discovery, to expand the TV franchise and make it an actual, like, multi-property franchise again. And he is taking it in really interesting directions that Star Trek really hasn't gone before. So far, we know of two other TV shows that we're definitely going to get, unless something goes horribly wrong. We're going to get Picard, which starts shooting in April with Patrick Stewart coming back.
They haven't. Like, it's a Ric Flair.
That's a woo.
They surprise announced that at the Star Trek Las Vegas convention last year, and people lost their minds. But yeah, they haven't officially dated that. They floated kind of late 2019. That one is especially exciting because where the most recent movies have been a reboot and where Discovery is a prequel, Picard will take place after everything else that's happened in the Star Trek timeline. So it'll be the first time we're seeing past Star Trek Nemesis and dealing with the destruction of Romulus, which happened in that first J.J. Abrams movie. So that's exciting there. And then they also announced Star Trek Lower Decks, which is an adult animated comedy from one of the lead writers of Rick and Morty, who also used to run a Star Trek The Next Generation Season 8 Twitter account where he just came up with humorous potential 8th season episodes of Next Generation. So that guy's a Star Trek super fan, and he's doing a comedy about the way he describes it, like the Starfleet members who have to put the yellow putty in the replicator so that bananas come out yellow. Like, he's doing that kind of that kind of thing, which sounds awesome. Really cool. Yeah. It's definitely like something they've not done before. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then there are two other shows that are in development that have not been greenlit yet. One is a spinoff of Discovery that would star Michelle Yeoh as Philippa Georgiou, the former Terran Emperor, who's now working for Section 31. Section 31, a very interesting organization because they basically do all the stuff Starfleet doesn't want to sully its hands with. Kurtzman has shown a lot of interest in that group because they're so unique in the Star Trek universe. That one is they're working, developing it right now, has not been picked up yet. He has stated that ideally it will premiere after Discovery's third season, which Discovery hasn't technically been picked up for season 3 yet, but everyone would be very surprised if it didn't get picked up. And then they just announced that they are developing with Nickelodeon another Star Trek cartoon.
Wow.
This one aimed at younger audiences will be, like I said, Nickelodeon, not CBS All Access, and will be aimed at a younger audience. So there's not really a lot of details, but I'm kind of thinking and hoping that this is like a Star Trek version of like Star Trek Rebels or the Clone or Star Wars Rebels or the Clone Wars.
Gotcha.
Something that they can turn into toys and stuff and get younger people interested in the franchise again. Because I think right now it's fair to say that it's pretty much all very adult audience that's interested in Star Trek because it's a relatively older franchise and, you know, kids don't have money to buy streaming services. So the idea that it's brilliant for them to put it on a network, even though they're trying to support CBS All Access, because that brings all these new eyes onto the franchise. So they weren't really clear about how young it's skewing. But like I said, I hope it's going for that same like Rebels audience where definitely it's aimed at kids, but adults are still going to really enjoy seeing this animated adventure in that universe.
You hear that, Star Wars? The fight is not over yet. You thought Star Trek was gone and it's just been hiding out and cloaked, but now it's decloaked with a bunch of warships and it's coming for those demographics. I like to hear it. I mean, we don't get into this very often. I mean, we haven't set it up here yet. But yeah, no, I mean, I grew up on Next Generation. Yeah. It was around my dinner table every night. I was a big Deep Space Nine fan. I got a little bit spottier after that when I was in college trying to keep up with Voyager, mm-hmm. and then Enterprise. That was Enterprise, mm-hmm. came after, yep. Voyager with Scott Baio. Mm-hmm.
Scott Bakula.
Oh my God.
Scott Bakula. Whoa. That's a
but
big
I really
want
to see a Star Trek series with Scott.
No, you don't.
Scott Bakula.
Charles in Charge of Space?
Wow. No. What a big difference in that. Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of got a little spotty around there, but I was always in for all the movies and I really loved. I remember I had just started this career when the reboot came out and that beginning with Chris Hemsworth and all that stuff. And
that was
awesome. I generally love the reboot. Still one of my favorite trailers of the late 2000s, mm-hmm. too. Like the Chris Pine, like, and you know, him in the bar fight, like, why are you talking to me, man? Was like one of my favorite lines.
Where do you stand on the movies? Like, do you appreciate the more current movies? Are you glad that we're starting to get more classic?
Stop. Nobody appreciates Into Darkness.
Okay, well, that's
nor
true.
Nor should you.
The movies outside of beyond the first Star Trek.
Into Darkness is certainly divisive. I remember when I saw the first reboot Star Trek in theaters, I thought, well, this is certainly lacking some of the depth of older Star Trek, but as a kind of sci-fi movie, it's pretty fun. It's got great action pieces. When I rewatched it again outside of the theater setting, it doesn't hold up quite as well because there's the connective tissue between those set pieces isn't great. And you know, reading some of the behind the scenes stuff, you get the impression that a lot of that is stuff that was in the script that ended up getting taken out to make room for those big set pieces. But yeah, the first one's not bad. It could be better, not bad. I actually really like Beyond. I thought that was the one that most had that kind of original series
it
kind
was
of
going back to
almost Star Trek pulpy adventure story thing to it. You know, I feel like I like where they start the characters. I like where they end the characters in Beyond. I feel like they could have drawn the line for how they got from point A to point B in their character's arc a little bit better in that middle part, but the middle part's so much fun. I love that the new character, Jayla, Sophia Boutella, right? Who was in The Mummy after that.
Yeah.
Played her. She's a great design. She's a great character. I hope if they end up doing that fourth movie, they bring her back. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's different, but different doesn't necessarily mean bad. And you know, you don't keep a franchise fun and lively for 50 plus years by just doing the same thing over and over again and not trying new stuff and allowing it to evolve.
We gotta wrap it up, but maybe to wrap this up, I think there would be a parent company who would be appreciative of just telling people a little bit about what's going on in Discovery and maybe why they should tune in.
Discovery is in its second season. The sixth episode of that season airs this week. The big deal is they've hired Ethan Peck to play Spock, a Spock that's younger than the Spock that Leonard Nimoy played in the original series, because it's a prequel. He hasn't showed up just yet. It's a kind of search for Spock arc they're on right now. And there's this mystery about this red angel entity that just keeps popping up all over the place. So it's very cool. It's Discovery, the first season was pretty dark because it was a war story. And so that was interesting. But now that they're out of the war story, this season has had a much more, like I said about Beyond, that adventure feeling. A lot of the episodes are kind of Discovery's spin on classic Star Trek tropes like the theme planet and things like that. So it's been really fun. It's a lot lighter season. There's a lot more humor. And they brought in Anson Mount from Inhumans as Captain Pike. And he is he's done great. He's a great presence on that show. Turns out when you let him speak, that's really fun.
Let's just end right there with a jab at Inhumans. Remember that show? Man, what a failure. All right. Moving right along to what sounds like it's actually not going to be another Marvel failure, but rather another Marvel success. We have first reactions from Captain Marvel to talk about. So, as we teased in the beginning, Brenda Davis went on a super secret mission to this exact place we're going to tell you about, which is a screening of Captain Marvel. He's doing the junket. They said they wanted more diversity in their junket, so we sent Brandon. Anyway, moving right along. As he's out there and doing that whole thing, it seems that, I mean, there was a lot of skepticism about Captain Marvel. If you've been listening to these episodes, I mean, you've heard the amount of shade thrown at it. Poor Matt's been up here. He's been defending Captain Marvel this whole time, saying it's going to be awesome. He was the, it's going to be awesome. Brandon was the, I don't think this looks awesome at all. And I was kind of in the middle, to be honest. I was kind of like, I believe, I've been writing Captain Marvel movie theories for a while now, based on all the trailers and stuff. And my whole take was, there's an awesome story about female self-discovery and empowerment in here, and kind of metaphors for things like, you know, abuse and gaslighting and all that stuff that was going to be taking place with this story about how this powerful woman is manipulated into being something she's not and has to kind of discover her own, you know, way and embrace her own power. And I thought the hints were there, but because there's going to be all these secrets and surprises, because it's a Marvel movie, we weren't getting any of that in the marketing. That was my take. And from what we're hearing, not again, oh my God, it sounds terrible. People are going to be coming at me, but not to toot my own horn, but it sounds like that's the case, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, those are pretty much verbatim what all of these first reactions are kind of saying. And we have the full breakdown in a post on the site. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's saying, people are saying like, wow, you know, it wasn't what they expected, but in a good way. It's very unique, very quirky, very 90s. And I don't know how to quite take that yet because I lived through it and I'm not sure as a retro idea. Yeah.
Okay.
But gotcha. Like, I don't know how to frame like when people just start throwing, like if you start throwing around like 80s, like, yeah, I'm far enough removed that I know what that nostalgia looks like and means. I don't know what 90s means quite yet. No, I don't
know. Okay. I have that. But maybe that's just because, you know,
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone throws out a Monica song, like a 90s R&B song, and I'm
The music, the rhythm is still there.
To me, the music is still
iconic. Pop Lock with the best of them, you know, and Cabbage Patch with the best of them. But like,
oh my God, can we get?
No, we can't. We're on a schedule. We're gonna keep moving. But no, it sounds like Captain Marvel's actually really good. It's really entertaining. And the thing we were most worried about was Brie Larson, because the marketing, it's showing Carol a lot of the time at this point where she's actually playing like a brainwashed person. And it's kind of robotic and distant, but we were all just worried, would she have the kind of spunky personality that Carol Danvers, especially in these modern kind of reboots of the character, has in the comics? Because she is one of the strongest personalities in Marvel Comics these days, I would say, in terms of just kind of being no-nonsense, badass, especially when she's like leading S.H.I.E.L.D. and her relationships with
She's self-deprecating. Yeah. Like, you know, like that's one of the biggest.
She has actual personality.
She has a personality, yes. Whether you like it or not.
Personality. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
But, yeah, I just saw that SNL skit with a guy who sees things differently.
Like, oh, God, yeah. That guy. Yes, that was a good skit.
Yeah. So, like, but apparently.
You derailed
hearing,
your own theory.
Yeah. I know. But apparently, what we're hearing is it comes through. Brie Larson's awesome. The Skrulls are awesome. And there's already people. I mean, we've been writing ever since we heard they were going to be in this movie about Secret Invasion and having that be the next big kind of storyline in the MCU. And apparently, the Skrulls really do earn their spot and really impress people, and especially Ben Mendelsohn, who's always awesome in everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. So, and that's a great setup.
Okay.
Because I feel like. Because I agree with you. I put it in the show notes, right? Oh, spoiler alert. It's as good as we've been saying, right? Like, yeah. It's good. Like, I don't know why everyone was on the doubt train to begin with, but whatever. So, one of the things, though, is that these are very good actors. This is a studio that has, you know, like, I see the tweets, right? Of, well, this is going to be the first disappointment, and it's going to be all these things. And then you get all these people that come out of these reactions.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
And because all the things they highlight are things we talked about. Brie Larson is good in this role because they can't show this entire metamorphosis of a character in a trailer, right? Then they're hiding things. And that's also from other things we're hearing, right? We know why they're hiding things. Like, there's a lot of things to hide. So it's like, okay, I understand that. The cat steals the show.
But I knew. I was waiting for it.
The cat steals the cat. Goose.
If you don't know, let's just put this out here. Matt Mueller, big cat lover.
I mean, I do love cats in general. My cat, Cassie, is amazing. But also, I love alien cats, right? And that's one of the things they've been hiding, right? So, like...
Yeah, selling so much merch.
I mean, but you know that. So they show a glimpse of the cat, and they can't show all the things. So people have been saying, oh, well, that's a cat, but that's fine. It's a throwaway thing, right? And then Ben Mendelsohn is a Skrull. He's a Skrull commander, but he's also infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. And we've gotten pieces of that in the trailers. I even said on the show a couple episodes ago, I can't remember which one, that like I wanted to see more of that, but I also sort of in the back of my brain understood why they're trying to play their cards close to the vest. But we've heard those three things are fantastic in the movie. And we've heard like people have their own little qualms with this or that. But overall, those three tenets are really great. And if you go back and listen, pretty sure that's what I said. I'm pretty sure that's what we said. I am excited. I think also because it's a prequel, you know, sometimes that can hamstring you. Especially with such a, they've had how many movies to explore the present of the Marvel Universe. So it's hard to find a spot. And I was actually kind of worried when they announced it was a prequel because I was like, that makes your job even more difficult to establish an origin amongst all these other things. From reactions, we're hearing that that's pretty much fine. Like, they managed to find those spots in that rhythm. So, I'm excited.
I mean, if there's any silver lining, it's that Brandon is out there now and has seen it and is now maybe going to be a convert. So, that should make you feel better.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So, Jamie, what do you think about it?
I don't know. Like, my expectations were around, like, I don't think Marvel has put out a really outstanding first movie for a hero since its first phase. Like, I didn't love Ant-Man. Doctor Strange was fine, but it's one of those movies that kind of evaporated out of my brain as soon as it was over.
I understand.
So that's kind of where my expectations have been for Captain Marvel. I didn't expect it to be any sort of weird disaster.
You didn't like Cap? First Avenger?
Well, that was phase one.
Yeah, he said phase one.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. I missed that, my bad.
I think he's talking
sure, that movie's
okay.
Good. And, you know, like, I like Ant-Man and the Wasp, so it's just their origin stories feel more formulaic and a little more rote than what they do with those characters afterwards. I'm really interested to see what Captain Marvel does with the setting, because I had the other feeling about the setting that putting her in the 90s means she doesn't have to live in the shadow of everything that's happened in the MCU so far.
That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. She can, they can give her space to be the hero rather than just a hero in this universe. I'm a little bit leery of the idea of S.H.I.E.L.D. being infiltrated by Skrulls, just because we've kind of done that already. And
with if they've been infiltrated this much,
you start to wonder why they're still allowed to run things.
Yeah, but you can't call yourself a S.H.I.E.L.D. if everybody's just like running up and infiltrating your squad.
That's a very good point.
I hope there's a scene where like, you know, Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull is like in the bathroom, like communicating some secret plot, and he realizes like the next stall is a Hydra dude also like communicating.
Oh my God.
Plot.
If they don't do that, that is such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Because there's just, jeez, everybody's just infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, yeah, I mean.
No, I mean, I feel like in the books and right in the comics, I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. has that reputation of like, seriously, why do we spend all this money? You're wasting time.
Yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D. has to crumble every so many years so that they can rebuild it as something new, you know. It's got that circular nature. But yeah, like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I hope it's better than I have expected it to be. I don't know why people are worried about like Brie, award nominated. She
won.
Award winning Brie Larson Oscar can't win, do yeah. Carol Danvers and using like unknown talent, like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson to fill out the movie. It just seems ridiculous to me that people were.
Brie Larson, Jude Law, Ben Mendelsohn, like all of these top.
I keep forgetting movies. Jude Law's in the movie.
Yeah. You want to worry about
you're
like,
not even like because we haven't been even allowed to say that it's him. It's just
but
like,
I keep forgetting like yeah, it's Jude Law like that.
Yeah,
like yeah.
So you want to worry about the script, the director, because those people have less. Less of a known quantity.
Yeah, they were
okay. TV. That's fair, but like putting it on Brie Larson based on a couple of TV spot scenes just ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I mean that was. We won't get in. We could go down that rabbit hole about, I mean, there's like 50 different examples just today about the kind of bias towards like female industry figures. I mean, let's not go down that rabbit hole. Just try to be better. Let's try to be nicer. But all right. So Marvel fans, it's sounding good. We don't have any major reveals to tell you. Brandon's still out in the field, but I'm sure he'll have his own impressions and things to say when he gets back. Yeah. So we'll just kind of pick it up there. So that'll do it for us today. We do have a special announcement, though.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow, 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 bow. So we've been riding along on this Comic Book Nation journey. Now we're headed towards our 10th episode, and we're looking to get some more reviews from you guys to let us know how we're doing. So if you want to go on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify and do a review of the show, we have something special. We are going to pick the best review we find, and we will read it on air. And the person who writes it will get, can I get another sound effect?
Bow, bow, bow.
A free comic book t-shirt. So
I'm going to get sued by Nickelodeon you actually for the Blue's do Clues now.
Is it mail time?
You bow, actually bow, get bow. Something for doing something. So help us out. Leave a review. And we will take, again, the best review, read it on air, and send the writer a free comic book t-shirt. So if you want to listen in, again, we will always post new episodes on the site where you can listen. We also have a link there to our RSS feed where you can subscribe, and you can subscribe through Stitcher, Spotify, or iTunes, the things that people actually listen to.
Wow. That's cold. That wasn't needed.
And be sure to go in, give us a rating, and give us a review. That'll do it for us today here at the Comic Book Nation podcast. As always, you can continue the discussion of anything we talked about by going on Twitter at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. You could also come and come at me or just talk with me.
Wow, that was aggressive. Wow.
You should see what's happening out there sometimes.
Yeah, seriously, come at me.
I mean, I got people coming at me right now. The battle never ends, man, and the war goes on.
Who are these people?
They're like Skrulls. They may look normal on Twitter, but all of a sudden, they're up in your ats, and it gets
That's
ugly.
A good
but,
analogy.
You can come at me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can hit me up at Matt Mueller CB.
You can find me at Jamie Lovett.
All right, everyone have a good day, and that'll do it for us here at Comic Book Nation Podcast. See you next time.
Deuces.